Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Just the other day, Vicki Jarrett was in to visit with us about some of the great things about North Carolina that she learned as the editor of Our State magazine, and she's continuing to keep up with North Carolina. That conversation went on, and we talked about a hero that we share, and that is William Friday, the president emeritus of the University of North Carolina. And we persuaded Ron Stutz to join us for a conversation about North Carolina. Vicki, welcome back to Chapel Hill.
Thank you very much.
And thank you. It's a rare thing that I can persuade President Friday to come visit with us, but when he heard you were coming, he jumped in his car and drove out to the station. Welcome, President Friday.
Anytime I can sit down with Ron and Vicki, I'm going to do it.
All right.
You know what, D.G., I'm glad you got me on here, too, because the President Emeritus is one of my heroes as well.
Well,
yeah. Too kind.
We could spend a long time talking about our admiration for you, but it might be more fun to talk about some of the things that you are thinking about. And Vicki, also your thoughts as you see North Carolina as the former editor of Our State magazine. What's on your mind today?
Well, I guess, in the transition in my own life, what I'm wanting to make sure is happening is that our interest and our attention to stories about things that are valuable to us as North Carolinians and in our communities, that they don't get lost. We were just talking before we went on the air about changes in the way banks do business, way other things do business, and that's happening in so many levels. We're even becoming just so attuned to the here and now that we're sort of missing the big picture sometime. And so that's really, I'm wanting to stay plugged into that. I went and talked to a group of fourth graders not long ago, and I was telling them some of the things about North Carolina. And I told them about pottery and Seagrove, and the old face jugs, and how that was to keep the spirits away or to discourage children from poisonous materials, And we talked about sheer wine being born in central North Carolina. And when I was talking about pottery, I said, somebody might put some moonshine in one of those face jugs, and that face would keep the wrong person from getting that moonshine. One little kid goes, "My daddy's got a jar of that in the garage." And it reminded me, as we change, we're not changing so much. There are still some of those things that are very much a part of who we are. So, out of the mouth of babes.
Interesting, Vicki. I was thinking as you were talking, your magazine, you did so many interesting things about putting in print what, up to your action, were folk tales that we passed on one to another,
Yes.
And you've been a chronicler of change in this state too, and all of us, many of us rather, watched the ceremony for John Hope Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it incredible that in that man's lifetime we moved to electing an African American as president?
His lifetime, indeed, from what he started.
So, you see, that's our secret, that we are capable of change.
Yes.
Not always willing to change,
right.
But we get it done somehow. And I was thinking about banking, as we were saying this morning. I remember the day when I used to walk down Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, Saturday particularly, and there used to be a bench right in front of the Bank of Chapel Hill, and a big old town clock stood there. And every Saturday morning, there would be Carl Durham, the congressman from this district, John Umsted, the chief legislator and powerful state legislator, Mr. Eubanks, who owned the bank,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of us who they'd led into the conversation. And, it was an experience for somebody my age to come down and sit down and see that kind of thing happening. That's what you missed today.
Yes.
That's what's lost.
Yes.
And it's a painful loss in a way if you experience it yourself. But
mm-hmm.
young people have a way of compensating, so good luck is all I can say.
Well, I think the trick is, how do we take the technology that has changed the way we do things and use that to embrace the values that shouldn't change? So, for example, we're more connected with email and through the computer than ever before, but we're more disconnected in terms of those kind of sitting on the bench conversations. So how do we use all this great technology and still keep those kinds of connections and still be able to talk and exchange ideas and those kind of things. Because email, you know, gives us those LOL and those short little acronyms for saying things, but we don't really talk. So we've got to find a way to marry the two so that we change, but we don't lose, you know.
Well,
that's the trick.
I've sort of let those things pass me by. It was interesting. I get this letter about a bank account. It directed me to the Midwest. I dialed that number. I then followed on the keyboard seven other designations. Finally, I just grew weary, hung up. Mm-hmm. I looked up the local number, got the same recorded. Now got through about eight digits. I hung up. I got in my car and I did like I did in 1950, first time we were in the office, and I just walked in the bank door, opened an account, and that was it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had a memory of that when I did it again this morning to close that same account, which is 60 years old.
So you closed a 60-year-old account,
yeah,
because of a message that they were going to send it to the government. As
because I let it lie there for a while.
And then you tried to call somebody and talk to them about it and couldn't reach anybody but the recorded messages.
But that's not just uncommon to the banking industry.
Right.
Anything else you touch. And there's a reason for all that automation. But I find that I get along without it. I'm enjoying walking in the bank and talking to my friends.
Reconnecting. Well, one of the things, Vicki, you've chronicled North Carolina through the pages of the magazine and using your writers to go out and find these stories. Mr. Friday, every week you talk to a different North Carolinian on UNC-TV on North Carolina people, and that the catalog of those conversations over now 35 or pushing now 40 years, I guess, of visiting with North Carolinians has got to put you in a place better than any of the rest of us to sort of say, are we changing, or as Vicki was talking about, or are we fundamentally sort of holding on to some important values? Are the people that you talk to like those that you talked to 35 years ago?
In terms of the basic human values, yes. Honesty, integrity, humility, decency, those great qualities, they go generation to generation. What's changed is that we live in such a fast pace, an automated pace, a directed pace, that we almost are forgetting how to enjoy being alive. And that's why I like to pile in the car without every once in a while and just ride down the Outer Banks and walk up Jockey's Ridge, as I did in 1937. I remember it very well, the year the Lost Colony opened, and we were there. But then you had to cross two ferries, you know, Alligator River.
Well, now be honest now. Are you glad that you can just zip on there, or would you rather have that experience riding the ferries?
I'd rather ride the ferry, mm-hmm. But I realize that that's not the way the world is. And we grow in number, and when you grow in number, you accommodate growth. But there are ways of hanging on to some of those things. You can still climb Jockey's Ridge. You can still watch the sunrise or the water. And you can still go see the Lost Colony, thank goodness. But no, we live in a much faster world. But what Vicki has done over these years is that she's put in catalog form the very thing I'm talking about. And the photography in that magazine has just been incredible. And anybody who has collected them, as I have, and sort of put them away for reference, has got a gold mine. But what that magazine has done has captured more or less the spirit of what Carl Gertz did, mm-hmm. when he used to come on WPTF at Sunday night with that scratchy, loud voice of his and tell us about flying his airplane landing on the sand dune down there. That's the kind of life it was.
Right.
Well, Vicki Jarrett is hosting. We're calling it the Vicki Jarrett Show, and she's recruited a pretty good guest, President William Friday. And Ron Stutz and I are sitting here with our mouths open with the great privilege of listening to these folks talking.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here listening. It's fun.
Well, I want to ask Vicki, how did you go about choosing topics?
Yes. Do you know one of the great things about working on that magazine, and one of the things I want to hang on to, is the fact that there were always more stories than we could possibly tell. Everybody has a story, and I know I'm saying this over and over again, but it's really true, and it was just a matter of picking and choosing the best of the best of the best. But you could put out 10 such magazines every month and not run out of stories.
Have you ever really been startled by something you walked up on when a reporter came in and said, look what I found?
I mean, maybe not startled,
maybe that's not
but
the word.
You know, sometimes you think you know an area, and then you hear a story, and you go, how did I not know that? You know, what I have constantly been impressed with is what you just said, is that the basic human decency and integrity and desire to help another, that those things don't change. And as a matter of fact, we constantly are coming back to find out, how can we do this now? You know, and you said young people will compensate, and they will, and they find ways to be that kind of decent, caring North Carolinian.
Well, Ron Stutz is signaling me.
Yeah, I just want to say, people still want to stay in touch with Vicki Jarrett. What is your website address now?
Oh, thank you. I do have a website, VickiJarrett.com, and I'm trying to continue telling those stories through my website and hopefully through writing.
And that is Vicki with a Y.
Vicki with a Y.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll remind folks about that website and continue the conversation between Vicki Jarrett and President William Friday. Ron Stutz and I are sitting here open mouth with the great privilege that we have to be with these folks. And we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. Ron Stutz and I are hosting Vicki Jarrett. And Vicki, you are hosting maybe the most sought-after guest that we would ever have, President William Friday, who came out when he heard you were coming.
Well, that's a real compliment. I am much in awe and enjoy everything about Dr. Friday. So
I'm going to go out find the fella y'all talking about here now.
We got him right here.
Well, he's only the most respected person in all of North Carolina.
Well, what I want to ask Vicki is this. When you do a story like the Cherokee, I had my ideas about it before I went out to Oconaluftee, but don't you have that wonderful surprise element in North Carolina?
Yes. I think that's true. You know, you mentioned Cherokee, but I think that's true in so many places of the state, where when you start digging a little deeper and you find out the real story, it is a surprise, and it's a treat, you know, to find out what's really there, what's really happening, who these people really are. It's one reason I have enjoyed issues when we've invited people from all over the state to participate. For example, in February, we had done this about why I love North Carolina. And hearing so many people tell their perspective, you know, past experiences or favorite foods or people that they've met, it's a treat because it expands your perspective of this great state and what's so wonderful about it. And you start hearing way more than one person can ever know or experience.
Has it been your experience that all of this good commentary we're talking about, and it sometimes has a tendency to make people become very vain or self-centered, but I don't think that's true here at all.
I don't think so.
People in North Carolina are very self-giving, and what I like is we've finally become very strong in preservation.
Yes, I that's one of the things that I think has really happened in the last 10-15 years especially, is a concerted effort to recognize the heritage we do have and do something to really hang on to it. Charlotte's been one of the worst for letting go of especially buildings and places, and even there we're starting to see where there are preservation groups who are trying to hang on to some of the cherished past so that there's something there to show for future generations and to establish kind of that timeline and that history and that who we are kind of feeling.
You never get by with that in this town. I can tell you that one morning I was sitting there at home eating my breakfast, and the telephone rang, and this very irate citizen in Chapel Hill was calling and said, "You've got to stop them. They're cutting down these oak trees in front of my house." I said, I don't have a thing to do with that street." She says, "Yes, but you've got to stop them."
Well, that's
possession in Chapel Hill.
That's right.
About your connection with Ida Friday and the effort that Mrs. Friday and her group of friends have had with the preservation both of the landmarks and also of the softer history. You've watched that in your life with Ida.
Well,
I know.
She and Georgia Kaiser, you know, it all began, I think, D.G., with the Betty Smith House. That was the first project of preservation for the community. And then they got organized. They got a lot of women in town, and the society itself resulted. And I think Chapel Hill's doing a good job now keeping its eye on its culture and its heritage. There was a period when we were pretty ruthless about it, but there's something of real value now for the state of North Carolina in maintaining this university and its environment pretty much as we know it should be, because there is an enormous value to a young person going to school here who learns and feels the atmosphere that's on campus and in the community. And it is different, and I make no apology for it being different. It ought to be. And that's one of the great cultural experiences young people have, is living in this town.
Yeah. Well, speaking of preserving valuable assets, one of the most extraordinary things that's happened, I think, in North Carolina life in the last, at least in this year, have been the programs that you brought on North Carolina people on the issue of your health. And you brought to us the doctors who diagnosed your heart problem, and then brought to us the surgeon who did the surgery, yeah, who replaced, I guess, the valve, the heart valve, and then followed it up with some other medical information that's related to that. And a few weeks after your program, I was over in the hospital with a heart patient who said he wouldn't have come to have his heart looked at except for watching your program with both the diagnosis and the surgery. And he had he found out that if he had not come, he would have in all likelihood suffered a surprise heart attack. And he was just talking about how Mr. Friday had saved his life.
No, but that was the real reason the producer and I did it. I said, "I don't mind being a little personal about it if you think it will help. I'm not opening a clinic, but there's one more to come." And I just finished a program this week with Dr. Scott Kelly about the hip bone and the knee bone and the elbow, which people in my age block, you get very sensitive to this pretty soon. But it's very interesting to see. But, you know, through all of these conversations, you start to see certain lines emerging. People that are overstressed, there's condition one that you better watch out for. If you begin to feel that you're out of breath, and you say, "Oh, I was an old tennis player, I used to play baseball or something," when you begin to have that experience, see your doctor. I've seen too many case histories now after that experience, and of my own. But I'm 88 years old now. I'm in relatively good health. I get my exercises, and I'm enjoying being alive. But you can slip away from that so easily, and I don't want any credit for anything. I just was just taking the experience that I had here in this great hospital. Well, we do have wonderful people, wonderful doctors and surgeons and nurses. And they took me as a problem. And D.G., you won't believe it, but I walked out of that hospital 7 days later. And it's been 12 weeks now. And I lost some weight I should have lost. I'm now learning to exercise. And But I'm going to leave the clinic to the doctors now. I'm going back to doing what I feel a little more comfortable
well,
with.
Well, it was, I don't want to spend all of our time, Vicki Jarrett, talking about President Friday's health issues. I think the point is that if we share some of these things that we learn during our lifetime and don't hold everything close, you can have just some surprising situations like this one that I had with somebody who just credits his life your sharing that crisis that you had in your
What you're talking about is what Vicki was asking about a little bit ago, DG. This is an inherent characteristic of North Carolinians. We share.
Yeah.
We give. We're grateful. We appreciate. We want to build a better culture. And if you've had an experience that you think would be helpful to somebody else, share it, because you are sharing what has preceded you. And I'll guarantee you that, because I was told right off 10 years ago you would never be allowed to have this surgery. You were too old. This is a dangerous thing to do, you see. But now, 10 years later, when I walked in there to have the first conversation, he says, now let me tell you something right now. Age is not a factor. This is a repair job we're going to do on you.
So
I started saying, well, back the car up and let's go.
10 years ago, you're too old to have the operation. 10 years later,
age is not a problem.
And if you don't think that isn't progress in medical science, just ask people in my age.
What I think is so wonderful is that you're willing to share your story on the air, and we have pretty concrete evidence that you probably saved this guy's life. But how many other people are there out there who heard what you said and watched your show and were affected? They decided to go to the doctor. I mean, you really made a difference, and that's what it's all about.
Well, you're very kind, Ron. But, when you stand in the door over there at Memorial Hospital and you look up on the wall, and it says, in effect, this place was built by North Carolinians for North Carolinians. Mm-hmm. And then you stand there and watch the flow of humanity. You suddenly realize that that wonderful team of people in that organization is doing what it was built to do. And 70% of the business they do comes from people who otherwise would not get treatment. Well, now, when you put together something like that in the interest of the state itself, look at what you do. But it makes us all go back to World War II when we all came here to go to college. You remember the thing called the Good Health Program? Mm-hmm. The one statistic that shamed everybody was that we led the nation in the number of our young people rejected from military service for physical disability. Yeah. That was not true today, but it's taken a half century to move from zero to where we are now. And it's a highly creditable program.
I think you illustrate two key points about North Carolinians. One is that not every state in the country is like this, but in North Carolina, we have a history of valuing our heritage and trying to build on that. And that is just one of the tremendous assets that the people of the state have. The other thing is that when North Carolinians see something that needs to be addressed, by and large, we step up to the challenge. And the Good Health Movement is a great example, but we do this time and time again. We need highways. We figure out how to not only have highways, but to make them beautiful. We need better health care. We do this tremendous campaign to improve the schools, the medical schools, the health care that's available to people. And time and time again, people in North Carolina have stepped up to this challenge. And I think that's a key characteristic that's almost born in us as North Carolinians, that we do care about our heritage and we do care about doing something about the challenges that we see facing us.
I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Let's take a break and then come back, Mr. Friday. And we're visiting with Vicki Jarrett and with William Friday. Ron Stutz and I are enjoying the conversation. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with them right after these messages. All right, welcome back to Who's Talking. We're calling this the Vicki Jarrett Show because we've been able to persuade the former editor of Our State magazine to come over and visit with us in Chapel Hill. And joining her, Ron Stutson and I have been invited too, but joining her is President William Friday. And gosh, guys, we're enjoying the visit that you all are having. I wonder, Vicki, following up on your statement about the challenges that North Carolinians have faced. Behind a lot of that participating in that, Mr. Friday's been a part of all of that. And so I'm curious about what his thinking is about the challenges that today that North Carolinians need to mobilize to face in order to have the same sort of future that our predecessors have prepared for us. And what have you got on your mind, President Friday?
Well, I've got a lot on my mind, like you have, and Vicki and Ron have, each of you has. But we're in a very difficult time in the state. Back in 1995, we had a big surplus in North Carolina, and the legislature was debating how much to cut taxes, and some of us tried to stop that flood tide, but we couldn't. And we took $1 billion out of the revenue of the state at that time by reducing tax base. We've never recovered, and now we're in deep trouble about it. But I don't fear the goodwill and the determination of the people of the state. What we've got to do is to get our priorities straightened out. We don't need to be paying $12 million a year to subsidize out-of-state athletes in public institutions. That money ought to be coming into the schools and some other places. But we've got to face certain basic things. First is health care. Mm-hmm. You can't work if you don't feel like working, and children can't study if they're not well. And the president has that focus, and I'm confident that by the end of the summer, the Congress will have done something that'll direct us all. You solve that problem, and then you fill in a lot behind it. I just did a program with Andy Dobelstein, who's just written a book for Oxford Press on the Social Security Act. Mm-hmm. I bet there are people listening to you and me, Vicki, have no idea that under that one act, in Medicare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. workman's compensation, child care, there's more money involved in that one piece of legislation than in the entire defense program. I was swamped when I heard that. This is not a time to despair. It's a time to really be very stimulated to meet the challenge. That's the characteristic of our state. Haven't you found that true?
I agree with you. And, of course, we've been facing the challenge for some time of shifting from the agriculture and the textiles and finding new technologies. And I think this isn't the time to back off from that. We need to continue. You know, we've gotten into all kinds of research and new technologies that we're really supporting and building here in North Carolina. And certainly, you know, what we were talking about, the good health movement continues to be an avenue of growth for North Carolina as our medical schools are on the forefront of doing all kinds of exciting things in medicine. And these are the kinds of things that provide an economic base for this state that we can grow from. And we just, you know, we're inventive. I guess that's another thing North Carolinians are good at is, got a problem, invent a solution.
Got some imagination.
Imagination.
But now the very things you just mentioned, we're growing more bright leaf tobacco this year than we've ever grown.
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Now, who's doing it, and where's mm-hmm. it going? Mm-hmm. What's happening to it?
Right.
I do an interview with the dean of the School of Textiles. He said there are just as many people in textiles. It's a different textile
world.
It's a
different market, yes. You know?
Well, then the furniture movement begins to slide back, but that's not where we will be.
Right.
We've got to get further along with biotechnology.
Exactly.
The various things that the Triangle has done. Mm-hmm. But even the Triangle is now trying to redefine itself,
right,
which is a very important thing to have happen. Because if there's ever a place where the availability of knowledge has accelerated, it's certainly in this world.
That's right.
And I know it left me behind a long time ago, but it's still a very exciting place to be. But most of us don't understand that now North Carolina population-wise is dominated by the concentration of people in the orbit from Shelby, Gastonia, right mm-hmm. straight through to include Raleigh, mm-hmm. and now branching down to Wilmington. 51% of mm-hmm. the votes in the metropolitan yep. region. But we can't say that and ignore the fact that we've got this wonderful eastern region that we've got to right. help transform, and we're working on it.
Right. I think that's constantly a challenge, is how do you address the needs of where the most people are without ignoring all these outlying areas, because for so much of our history, North Carolina has been these small towns, and is certainly an important part of who we are as North Carolinians. That is our foundation.
Well, what you're doing now, though, is just, if it was never clear before, it's abundantly clear now that this state will move to the degree and extent it nourishes its educational system.
Yes.
Because you can't make it now on muscle power.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to think and reason and work out problems with your mind and have a sense of value behind it.
Yes.
And this is what we're moving into. But it's expensive, but it's also very, very essential and very exciting.
And it's not something that happens overnight. I mean, mm-hmm. you just don't make changes in the population in terms of the education and things like that. That's a lifetime commitment, and several lifetime commitments in terms of continuing to build that and develop that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what our state really does. We're going to have to raise taxes. Everybody knows that. The debt is too great. And we ought to sit down as legislators and let's get to work solving that problem, because the end of the fiscal year is out there on the edge of the calendar now. But that it's more than that. We need to look to our future. You know, North Carolina's second largest industry now is the tourist.
Yes.
It's not manufacturing and all this. Now, are we doing what we need to do to nourish that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think we've got to do a lot more.
Well, and I think we have had a lot of small communities get in on that tourism bandwagon by recognizing that they have something to offer with the heritage of their community. And I'm excited about that that's another way that we're having that preservation and heritage focus, because it's a way to capture the tourism dollars. Well, and
that feature you did on Waynesville, where they bring all those
yes.
people from all over the world, and
yes.
what a wonderful
yes.
experience. Well,
yes.
that brings tens of thousands of dollars
folk
in there.
Is what you're referring
to. Is that
mm-hmm.
what it is?
Mm-hmm. That's an international event that brings people into that area.
We're listening to a great conversation between President William Friday and former Our State Magazine editor Vicki Jarrett. Hate to interrupt it, but we do need to take a break. After the break, I will continue listening. Ron Stutz and I will continue listening to that conversation, and you're welcome to join us too. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. President Friday, President Emeritus Friday, is talking about the affection of, talking with Vicki Jarrett and Ron Stutz and with me. And Mr. Friday, before we came back, you were talking about the affection that seems to be something almost every citizen of North Carolina has for the university.
Well, Vicki's been talking about the things that universities create and cause to happen all over the state, but if you've been around the place as long as I have now, and you get out across the state, what you learn is that, yes, people get angry with us. Yes, they get upset. Some of them take that out, particularly in athletics. But when you ask the average citizen about his thinking and his appreciation of what goes on in the college system that this state has built, public and private, I have yet to hear anybody be condemnatory. I really have found that very energizing to me when I was out. And you know, every administrator ought to get up from his office and take a day out and just do nothing but ride and stop at a filling station and say, how are you folks getting along? You know, what can we do to help you? This is what I think has been the genius behind what Erskine Bowles has done recently. He did that. He did it a lot more than I was able to do it. And he came up with a thing called UNC Tomorrow. And that is a very splendid projection of the role of higher education in the future of the state. Well, when people understand that, and to make one more reference to the hospital, when you administer good health practices to 250,000 people a year, the outpatients, the people come in and out of there, the affection that they have for the process deepens. And it's one of the really great things about this state. You won't find this in every other state of the Union, very few. But this is a romance that is now over 200 years old and getting stronger.
You know, people ask me sometimes, are there other states that are, you know, similar? You could start the same kind of magazine. You could do the same kind of thing. And I say, you know, North Carolina has some unique characteristics. It is a special place, and these are special people here in this state. And you talk about our education system. Yeah, I'm so excited about how our universities and our community colleges and our private institutions are looking at the challenges we're facing right now and saying, what can we do? What can we add? How can we do things differently to meet the needs of the people in our community? And it's exciting to see the programs that are being developed to address those needs. You know, this is the group that's on the forefront of saying, here's how we can be ready for the next whatever. You know, the North Carolina University Online, a fantastic program that's making all these degrees available in a way that they've not ever been before. It's taking the university outside the walls, outside the classroom. And we talked about, we've got all this great technology. How do we keep what we value? And that's one great way that we're doing that.
Well, the way you judge it is the people you graduate.
That's
and
right.
I don't think there's any finer example. What you see, the university itself, 16 campuses, and the private institutions, and the liaison that has developed with the community colleges, so you can go there 2 years and finish in a four-year institution.
And you know, that didn't used to be that way.
Well,
but
it was
a
hostile one time.
Yes.
But all that feeds back to the community. There's no way you can escape. And the most important part about it is everybody wants it to do that.
Right.
So I think, yes, the times are different now. They're hard. They're perilous. But out of this, if you were here in the 1950s, you know that we managed. We pulled it out. We're going to do it again. I don't worry about that part of it. It's just, what direction are we on when we have finished the job?
Right.
And that's why the state's one great deficiency now, I think, is that it doesn't have a progress board. It doesn't have a group of the very intelligent people of the state sitting down and saying, this is what we want to do as a state.
A goal to shoot for.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried for 10 years and failed at every effort, but you can't deny the process. You have to come to face it sooner or later.
Mm-hmm. Vicki Jarrett, when I travel around, a lot of people ask me two questions. One is that they ask after Mr. Friday's health, and I'm able to reassure them, and we've heard about his from him directly about his magnificent recovery from his surgery and then sharing that experience. But they also want to know about you and what you're up to, and no longer the editor of Our State Magazine, but staying pretty busy. And how can we get in touch with you? What are you doing? How can you help us?
Well,
what's going on?
Thank you. I am staying busy and I'm finding a new direction. I have a website. That's probably the easiest way for people to get in touch with me. It's VickiJarrett.com. And
we'll have a link to that from WCHL.
Wonderful. That's great. I am writing some articles. I have recently finished working on editing a brand new publication that I'm hoping will be launched this fall. So I'm just looking forward to every way I can find to keep on telling stories. I think that's what my heart and passion is. So,
well, Ron Sutz, have we ever had a better program?
I'm not sure. I would be hard-pressed to remember one, to tell you the truth. Getting Vicki in the studio is really exciting, and any time you can get Bill Friday to come to the studio, that is absolutely wonderful.
Well, I feel like I'm surrounded by Ron Stutz, Vicki Jarrett, and William Friday. It's close to heaven as I'm going to get today. Listen, thanks to them, and thanks to you for listening and joining this conversation with us. I'll be back same time tomorrow. It won't be the same without Vicki and President Friday and Ron, but we'll be here doing our best. Until then.